Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, if you'd have said to me in the summer, which game or which ground is Declan Rice going to get his biggest FPL haul of the season against, I'd have had reasonable money that it was going to be at West Ham.
It was another one like last week, though, with Richarlison, wasn't it, where it was gracefully done.
He did it without celebrating too much, didn't
yeah.
he? Well, to be fair to Richarlison, he gave it the whole... He put his T-shirt over his head. He was so happy, wasn't he? And then on the first one, he kind of wheeled away and went, actually, no, I will calm down.
Yeah, he forgot where he was.
Whereas at least with Declan, he immediately was just like, yeah, okay, peace, whatever. But two assists and a goal, right? I think highest overall for underlying BPS in the whole game week.
So far.
He did absolutely pulled out a worldie performance, as did Arsenal, actually. We'll talk about the games a bit later on. Was it Arsenal great or was it West Ham terrible?
Well, I was just going to say, I think Arsenal were good. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and take anything away from Arsenal. But West Ham, you can't concede four goals in 15 minutes.
It felt like a proper...
That's embarrassing.
It felt like a head's gone, didn't it? It felt like a, you know, we conceded one. Declan was involved.
You're at home as well.
God, yeah.
You're at home.
And the fans leaving at
half-time. Ooh. Not just leaving, it was like a mass exodus.
It was bad, wasn't it?
It was terrible.
West Ham fans, tell us in the live chat how you are feeling. I wouldn't be feeling
probably
great
not here.
If I were... I doubt they're here. You're absolutely right. Loads going on this game week, of course. Another great game week of FPL action. And we will, of course, talk about the games we've just seen over the last couple of days. We've got one to go, Chelsea, tomorrow night. I assume you've still got Palmer to play. Most FPL managers still got Palmer to play.
Yes.
Palmer to play, yeah. I would have had Gusto, but I've benched him this week. And I benched him for Alfie Doughty. We went on Sky.
Do you want to tell everyone about your KDB stuff? Because that was quite fun.
Yeah, it can if you like. So we did the Sky thing on Saturday morning, didn't we? Where basically for half an hour we just said how great Luton were going to be. And got smashed by Sheffield United 3-1. So that's how much you should listen to us. I think I did a state your case for Doughty. I think you did a state your case for
Ross Barkley.
To be fair to Doughty,
created 9 chances in that game.
Yeah, you can't really lay the blame for that result at his door, can you, necessarily?
Absolutely not, no.
There was some definite underperformances by Luton players, but I don't think he was one. He was doing his level best to create. But still, not great from a Luton perspective after we'd been on that show for half hour saying how great Luton were as picks. And then we come off, and of course we've got about a two to three minute gap, haven't we, between coming
off
air.
By the time we've had our mics taken off and all of that.
Take your mic off, give it to the floor manager, and then we say bye to Hayley, and then we rush over, or I rushed over to my phone, because we were expecting some news about Manchester City, weren't we? We were hoping for some news about Manchester City. And the general feeling was, because the leaks were kind of a little bit, maybe not, maybe they are, that Kevin De Bruyne was going to be benched. That was the sort of feeling coming through.
Kevin off the bench is better than no Kevin at all, Lee.
Well, I didn't think so.
I know you didn't. So I thought you were mental.
I made some pretty crazy moves at 2 minutes to 11, which I never do, by the way. I never do. And by the way, it wasn't knee-jerk. I'd premeditated this.
To be fair to you, you had said you were going to do it on Friday evening. We went out for dinner. Yeah. And you did say when we were having dinner, if I get news that KDB is benched, this is what I'm going to do. And I remember saying to you at the time, but KDB off the bench for 20, 25, 30 minutes can be just as good as KDB from 90, particularly against a... But you were like, no, if he's benched, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And the plan was, if he was benched, it was to bench him. If he was benched, I'll bench him in my FPL team. And then I'll do Solanke to Darwin with my second free transfer. Because I'd already done a free transfer. I'd already done Lascelles to Doughty. I'd already done that.
So, actually, it has worked out because you've sold an assist, you've benched an assist, and you've played a goal.
Mm.
But now do you want Solanke back?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
26, and that's 27.
That's not really much about him necessarily, but Bournemouth are in a bit of a sticky patch at the minute. We'll talk about them in a minute.
Yeah, but for 27, you want him back. But then by 27, maybe you don't want Darwin anymore. Or maybe you don't want any Watkins after that performance today.
You do, absolutely. The one thing I will say is that I'm glad that I benched Gusto, because even if he gets a clean sheet tomorrow night, it was between him and Gabriel. And it was between the two of them.
Interesting.
So I'm pretty bloody glad that I didn't do Gabriel, because at the minute he's holding up my game week.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I considered benching Saliba this week because... I looked at my defence and I had Poirot and Estupiñán, who I was like, well, there could easily be attacking returns for both of them against each other in that game week with the way that Spurs and Brighton play football. And then obviously I brought in Doughty and I was like, well, obviously I'm not going to bench Doughty against Sheffield United.
All bigging up Doughty, weren't we?
So it was a case of, right, who's getting the bench out of Poirot, Estupiñán and Saliba?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I can't really bench Poirot because it's a home fixture.
You're not benching Poirot.
I don't think I can do that. So then it came down to a straight choice between Saliba and Estupiñán. And in the end, the only thing that weighed out was... So in my head, Saliba's less likely to get an attacking return.
Yeah.
Because he's not really, usually, anyway.
Well, we've talked on these streams before about how Gabriel is the threat. They look for Gabriel from the corners. Yeah. So
in my head, I was like, well, Estupiñán has got more attacking threats than Saliba has, but Saliba's got more chance of a clean sheet against West Ham because they've got no attacking players.
Yeah.
So I just was like, oh, I think I have to play the clean sheet potential and go with Saliba.
Well, glad you did, because that is a decent haul for Saliba and for Gabriel. Anybody that's got both of them, by the way, and I saw a couple of you guys on Twitter with both Gabriel and Saliba in your team. So nice, double Arsenal defence away at West Ham. That was a ballsy play if you played it. But brilliant. That's about 30 points between the two of them. So, so good. Let's say hello to a few people in the live chat, Sam. We've got Webby is in. How are we doing, mate? He's here every week, Webby. Every bloody week. Webby, how are you doing, mate? Well, nice to see you.
It's nice because you didn't turn up last week, so you know.
Correct. Yes, Webby was here, probably.
He was probably here.
I wasn't here. Yeah, I wasn't here. I was away with work, but nice to see you all. Nigel the Crab is in.
Very quiet evening last weekend.
Been a member, Nigel the Crab, for 23 months and nearly 2 years as a member.
Wow, Si.
Nearly 2 years. Went to QPR Norwich on Saturday. Not a great game week, but not as bad as my score this week. Wild card active with United assets in. We've got to talk about Man United because that was a good performance. I wouldn't say it was a brilliant performance, but it was a good performance. Their goal led a bit of a charmed life, particularly in that second half, but they got the job done. Got the job done with Scott McTominay coming up trumps again.
Keeping Spurs in the top four. Thank you, Man United.
Not for the first time this season. Scott McTominay coming off the bench to get the 3 points for Manchester United. Very, very good indeed. I like that Nigel went to QPR Norwich. We ourselves went to a little bit of proper football, didn't we, over the weekend? Yeah. Albion City versus Taunton.
6-0 smashing.
6-0 to the Saints. Up the Saints. Come on. Very,
nice,
very good.
Nice to see Glenn Hoddle down there supporting St Albans City.
Get this, guys. Glenn Hoddle was at Clarence Park. So his second cousin, I think he's related to him. His cousin plays for St Albans City. Don't know what the kid's first name is.
George. Obvious.
Is it George? George Hoddle plays for St Albans City. I think he's on loan from Colchester. Somebody's going to look on Wikipedia and tell me I'm right or wrong there. But Glenn came to see him. And because we were there with all of Max and his mates from London Colney Youth, all the boys, who did a guard of honour for the players, by the way, they had this thing where the team goes and does a little guard of honour. It was so cute. All the boys were like rushing over to get their programs signed by Glenn Hoddle, weren't they? It was absolutely fanboying over him. Brilliant. None of them knew who Glenn Hoddle was, by the way. It was just that all the parents were going, bloody hell, Glenn Hoddle, bloody hell. Glenn Hoddle is a legend. So all the kids were like, oh, we've got to go and get a signature from a legend. But they only know Mbappe and Messi, don't they?
Max come and sat next to me and he was like, right, talk to me about this Glenn Hoddle bloke. Those were his exact words.
This Glenn Hoddle bloke.
He comes up to me.
Disrespect.
At half time, this is. Right, talk to me about this Glenn Hoddle bloke. I got his signature.
He's only a legend.
He's like, who is he? And I was like, ex-Spurs. Ex-England manager? No, Max, okay.
Completely lost on him.
But he was well happy. He's there with his programme, like, look, he signed my programme. And then afterwards, he went and they obviously, the players all came and shook the kids' hands and gave him high fives and stuff. He's got half the team signed his programme. He was so excited, wasn't he? He was like, Mum, Sean Jeffers has signed my programme. Jeffers is now a legend.
Kids nowadays. If you'd have said to the kids, you can get Hoddle as like a legend icon on Foot Champs or whatever, and I'm out of my depth even saying that sentence, they'd have all gone, oh my God. It's him, it's Glenn Hoddle, but none of them genuinely knew who he was until all the parents were fanboying. Duncan Crawford is in. How are we doing, mate? Nice to see you. He used to have double defence. Duncan says, no good, I used to, Duncan. You've got to have it this week, mate. This is the week. 30 points between the two of them. Very good. Liam Healy is here. How are we doing, Liam? Andrew Yee is here. We've got Ram is in. And we've got, who else? Babani, who's here everywhere. Where's Babani? Here every week. So many names that are here every week, guys. Nice to see you. Who else have we got here? Let's have a look. We've got Abinav is here. Scott Schrager, the OG, says, great score this week, Sam. We're going to talk about that a bit later on. New hairstyle, he says. Like it. Exclamation mark. New hairstyle? No?
No. But thanks.
Thanks, Scott.
Sort of. So when I was at the hairdressers the last time, I was moaning that my hair is always really flat.
Right.
Have you ever noticed this?
No, I think you look gorgeous, dear, every day of the week.
Oh!
See what I've done there? See what I've done?
Is it because it's nearly Valentine's Day?
Almost as brown nosy as Scott there.
Well, anyway, I was moaning at my hairdresser, who's the most lovely lady, that my hair always goes flat. She was like, I tell you what, use this spray. So she gives me this spray, and you have to spray it just like in, like go like this. Anyway, it has given my hair like more.
This is what they're here for, by the way. This is what the guys are here for.
So no, it hasn't actually been done. It's been done again when we get back off holiday, but.
This is why Scott tunes in, hair tips.
And I'll tell you what, this will also make you laugh. So on Saturday for Sky, I turned up and I said to the makeup lady, I was like, Annabella, she was like, what do you want to do with your hair today? I was like, I don't know, I'm having such a bad hair day. Can we just leave it up or do something? She was like, yeah, yeah. She put it up, didn't she? And I was so happy with it. It looked so nice. I made Lee take a picture so I could see the back of my head. It was just like, what are you doing?
Right, Sam. Any danger that we talk about FPL on this?
No, we talk about my hair some more.
We've got to say hello again to Duncan Crawford, who's been a member for 22 months.
Duncan.
22 months. Hey, guys, I'm finally back in the top million. Yes.
Woohoo!
I'll be at DFS in the morning after selling Palmer for Jota. Well, at the moment, mate, that's looking all right. But I fancy Palmer tomorrow. I mean, eyes on him. Let's see how he goes.
Just pretend the game's not happening at all, Duncan. Yeah, that's probably the best thing.
DFS is the best place for you.
Although, mate, the thing is, you know, now you've mentioned it on here, that everyone's going to be in the Slack tagging you as soon as Palmer does anything.
Yes,
you're going to get multiple tags in the Slack.
It also tomorrow. Says buzzing for the new Fest venue. Yeah, for those of you that haven't seen.
Yeah, it's great.
Get over to
Hope
Twitter.
It doesn't rain, though.
Get over to Twitter and have a look at the new Fantasy Football Fest. It's at FF Fest, so 3 Fs and then EST. Obviously the event that we go to every couple of times a year, Gianni runs it with Ed and with Mark. They put it together and they've got a new venue because they had some feedback, let's say, on the back end of the last one.
So last summer's Fest was great. It was a fantastic evening. We all had a lovely time. The venue was a bit of a disaster for the first time ever. The Wi-Fi wasn't working. They don't have their Sky license anymore, so they can't show the game. It was just, everything went wrong, didn't it?
And with the Wi-Fi not working, there was a few people that missed. Do you remember?
Oh, no, don't you?
Yes,
hang
do you
on.
Remember?
Hang on, guys. Tiny Violin.
Do you remember? Mm-hmm. A lot of people missed out on the Gabrielle
leaks. I sent you
leaks.
Texts. You were too busy chatting and you didn't read your phone.
I was being sociable.
Always answer your phone when your wife texts.
I'm still owed 10 points by that, by the way.
Always pay attention when your wife sends you a text.
If I hadn't been at Fest,
read
if Fest
it.
Had decent Wi-Fi,
well, it does
I'd be
now.
10 points better off this season, so I'm happy that they've changed
not
the
venue. Not so easy for us to get to, though, is it?
That's fine. It's London. Come on. Yeah, people coming from Bristol and stuff. It's London.
I know, but what I used to like about is you get on one train and I just have a lovely little stroll along the South Bank.
Oh, tell that to Liam. He has to come right halfway across the country.
I hope Liam's coming. I hope you're all coming.
These guys have to... There's people coming on overseas and you're worried about getting an extra tube line for 20 minutes down to Vauxhall.
Is that where it is, Vauxhall?
Come on. Wind your neck.
Well, it looks like...
Come on.
Wind your neck in.
People coming from, like, Australia, America.
I was thinking, well, maybe we get a hotel.
Oh, it's slightly less convenient for me to be in South London rather than North London.
Oh, it's much easier in North London, isn't it?
Right, come on, Sam. Let's talk about FPL. We've done.
There's a giant spider up there. Have you noticed?
Where? Oh yeah, he's a big lad, isn't he?
Just spotted him.
He's a big lad. We'll get
Why
him
is
later.
He in my office?
We'll get him later. Let's talk about the fixtures from this week, Sam.
Duncan's
by the way,
making a list of biscuits to bring.
I would like you guys to get in the live chat and let me know what is going on in the African Cup of Nations. Final that's happening right now. So Nigeria are playing Rory's actually saying goal Nigeria, since 1-0 maybe to Nigeria. So keep us up to date with that one, guys. We haven't got any TVs with it on in here.
We could have put it on there.
We could have, but listen, we want to concentrate on the live stream.
Well, I
wouldn't
have been able to
see
it anyway.
We want to concentrate on giving Scott Schrager hair tips and things like that, right? It's the important stuff. It's what people are here for, Sam. We're already 20 minutes in.
Duncan's
all we've done
probably,
is talk about volume.
Duncan will be, he's already in Fest mode, so he's already thinking about what bag of treats is he bringing.
Already in Fest mode. Yeah, 1-0 Nigeria, people are saying.
I bet that was one of my favourite parts of Fest. Sitting on the door, up walks Duncan. Hello, Sam, how are you? I'm like, Duncan, how are you? He was like, I bought you a present, just hands me a bottle of peach iced tea. I was like, oh my God.
Right, Sam, can we please talk about FPL?
This is
FPL
relevant.
We're over the 20-minute mark and we've not gone FPL.
This is FPL relevant.
I'm going to get you in the FPL mood by talking about Spurs, your favourite subject. Jammy old Spurs 2, Brighton 1, 96th-minute winner. Heung-min Son comes on and makes, let's face it, the difference, because that run, he was belting down that wing, but trying to get on the end of that
Charleston. He made one very similar run, didn't he, a couple of minutes before, and put a ball over to Brennan, and it just didn't quite work that one, but then the next one was perfect. Fascinating game, I thought, this one, because both sides like to press. Spurs like
and both like to play out from the back.
Both like to play out from the back. So Spurs trying to play out from the back, Brighton just immediately pressing. Brighton trying to play out from the back, Spurs immediately pressing.
Brighton's press for the first half an hour, or first 40 minutes actually, was unreal.
Yeah, it was good.
So good.
It was good.
But they ran out of steam.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, we just don't know how to give up when it comes to attack. We just play till the death, and
that is the Spurs way.
And that is the Spurs way. All right, it's like the Mandalorian.
The proper Mandalorian, but it is, though, isn't it?
But that is the way.
Is his philosophy.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? And the players have bought into that. The players know that that's the case. And when you've got players like Brennan Johnson, like Son, who you can bring off the bench when players are tiring, and the Brighton defence were tiring, it's going to make all the difference. And it did. And I think, you know, the Spurs defence is what it is. I can understand why people were selling Porro over the last few weeks. I get it, because, you know, there's obviously the blank coming up in 26, which we've now had confirmed since we last live streamed.
Yes.
And we obviously don't double in game week 25, although it is another home fixture against Wolves.
Good fixture, you'd say.
Which on paper is a good fixture. Yeah. I mean, Wolves have been playing well. We'll have to see, because I think Cunha went off, didn't he? Injured in that
one. He did, yes.
So we'll have to see. But obviously, you know, they've got Hwang back, as well as us having Sonny back. So that will make a big difference to them as well.
Sarr back as well with
Pape, Pape back, Bissouma back. I mean, this, to be honest, since about game week 4, I think this is the first time we've had pretty much the whole squad available. Yeah, and long may that last. But I think defensively, they're still issues there. I thought Vicario was outstanding.
Couple of good saves in the first
half. Really, really
which
good.
I think kept you in the game, because obviously they scored a penalty with Gross, but then could have had two, and it could have been altogether a different game. But yeah, Vicario, not for the first time this season, pops up with a couple of blinders. He's a good keeper.
Really good keeper. So yeah, I was pleased. I mean, I was at St Albans City at the time when this was rumbling on.
Watching some proper football.
And Max's coach is a proper football Spurs fan, and I was sort of updating Dean on what was happening across the touchline. But I think, yeah, it was a good performance from Spurs. Defensively, still lacking.
That was the loudest cheer of the day you two gave, wasn't it?
Well, the game had finished at St Albans City.
6-0 St Albans.
It had finished. 6-0. The boys were off getting their programme signed. I literally just stood up and my watch went, and I expected it to be
full-time.
Sofa score saying full-time Brighton Spurs. And when I looked at it, it was just the giant Spurs logo. And I was like, hang on, that's a goal. That's not full-time, that's a goal. And I'm like, Dean. And he's like, what? And I'm like, wait, hang on. And I'm like, get my phone out. And I'm like, hang on, wait. Yes, we've scored. And Dean was like, what? Yes. But yeah, I think from an FPL perspective, there's a lot of choice at Spurs right now. Obviously nothing for Richarlison in this one, but he was unlucky. He did have a couple of moments where he could have returned.
Well, I noticed on the Fantasy Football Scout members area, which we use every single live stream, I always have it in front of me, guys. And in case you don't believe me, there it is. Look, on my iPad. If you're not a member at Fantasy Football Scout yet, then you can have a look in the description of this video. The links are all in there. Full disclosure, it's an affiliate link. We get a little bit if you sign up, but if you want to do it, it is invaluable.
Well, to be fair,
it's invaluable.
Well, I've never actually claimed any of our affiliate money from them.
Have you not?
No.
All right, okay. It's probably racking up in the background, is it?
I don't know. I always pay the affiliates, but I never look at what we've earned. I just kind of go off.
Have a look at that. I might be able to retire.
You might be. I doubt it.
We've got the members area up every single live stream. And you're right about Richarlison, fifth for XG underachievers with a delta of 0.51, which means got in the positions, could have scored, maybe a little bit wasteful, you could say, but, you know, racked up the XG. And I actually thought that he was looking quite good on the XA as well. He was quite good on the creative side as well, holding the ball up, keeping those strong Brighton defenders on his back, and bringing the likes of Brennan and Kulusevski and others into play. So didn't mind the performance from Richarlison. So I'm a Richarlison owner, you're not, but I'm not panicking with that.
No,
I'm not panicking about that.
And Richarlison / Maddison / Son / whoever else
this
it is that you want
now,
at Spurs,
yeah.
I think there's plenty of options in those attacking numbers. Now, for me, when you look at the Spurs are pretty much a no right now, given that 26 they blank. So I think people are going, and next week's a double, so people are going to be prioritising the Man Cities, the Liverpools, the Lutons, if you want, the Brentfords.
Well, let's have a look at those Spurs fixtures. You're right, it's the Wolves game up next, then it's the blank obviously in 26, which we're all aware of. And then here's the reason I won't be selling either Porro or Richarlison for that blank, is because coming out of it, you've got Crystal Palace at home, which is a nice looking fixture for Spurs. Then you've got this slightly beige coloured trip to Villa Park, which on the back of three defeats now at Villa Park in a row for Aston Villa, unless their form changes a little bit, that might not be quite as bad as we think, that fixture. Then Fulham away, Luton at home for Spurs. So I, for one, as currently my feeling is I won't be selling either of my Spurs assets because of that
blank. Particularly as play in 29 when other people are going to be blanking. So actually, I think for me, I'm...
So is that Spurs Fulham game? That's locked
on.
In
that's
for 29?
Yeah, okay. We're both out of the FA Cup. So that game's locked in and on. And of course, Spurs will have that fixture against Chelsea to be rescheduled at some point, whether that goes into 34, 37, whenever. I mean, if Chelsea go out of the FA Cup, then that could go in at any point. It won't necessarily matter about European weeks or anything like that with those two sides. So I think for me, obviously Spurs are a non-investment heading into 25 simply because of the blank in 26. But as soon as we come out of that blank in 26, I'll be looking to invest in the Spurs attack because the fixtures are nice. They don't blank in 29.
Yeah.
And I think you could feasibly double up, and you don't have to spend loads of money to do that. I mean, Richarlison, yes, he's taken a few price rises lately, but he's still a relatively cheap midfielder option. Madison's still relatively cheap. Yes, you've got to pay a lot more if you want to have Son. But, you know, there are cheap options available, and I think they look like nice cheap options too.
Okay. All right. Well, before we have a quick chat about Brighton, a couple of super chats. One from Wilco. Thank you, mate. Loved my Zoom with Sam this week.
We had such a fun time talking to each other.
Had a little Zoom with Wilco this week. 78 points with Palmer to go. So the Zoom obviously works. So well done. 78 points. Very good. Packing for Australia while I watch. He's got to get up at 4 a.m. to get to Australia. Love that, Wilco. Have a great time, mate.
Wilco and I had an absolutely lovely chat on Wednesday afternoon, early evening, just after the Bournemouth double game week was announced, actually. So it was handily timed. And part of our conversation was that Wilco's off to Australia for, I think it's 4 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. So we had to obviously plan for
a
few weeks worth of time.
Get Wi-Fi out there, can't you, Wilco?
Yeah, but you know, he's travelling all around Australia. So it's making sure that he's not on flights
when deadlines.
You know,
Haaland's triple captain.
Well, you don't want to be on a flight.
You don't want to be. You've got to plan this trip around your
FPL,
Wilco.
Got to make sure that we're sorted. So we had a really lovely chat. We planned out his team for the next few weeks and we're all sorted. But it was lovely. I really enjoyed talking to you, Wilco.
He also says, when is Fest? I actually don't know.
It's the 17th of August, I think. Is that the Friday? Because
usually game week one, isn't
it? Actually starts a week later, doesn't it? So I think it's like the 17th of August. It's the Friday evening of... something like the 17th of August.
Yeah, you can find that on Twitter, can't you? And another super chat from Joseph Maloney. Thank you, Joseph, for the super chat. Hey, C. Hey, C and Lamb. Hey,
who's Sam C and Lamb?
C and Lamb. No idea. Hey, Sam and Lee. Hope you're all good. Yes, we are, mate. 74 points. Very nice, Joseph. With Palmer to play. Looking forward to speaking to Joseph this week.
Oh,
got a super Zoom.
It's coming into that time of the season, isn't it? I think where Zoom.
Yeah, the Zoom tier patrons are starting to just think about. Actually, it would be nice to just talk this through. I've got a bit of a wild card dilemma. Do I play this chip? Do I free hit this? What's my strategy like? So yeah, the Zoom patron tier is in full speed at the minute, isn't it? The guys are just starting to ask questions.
And do you know what? Actually, having that Zoom chat with Wilco on Wednesday, it really focused my brain because obviously I'm having so it's actually really helped with my own FPL plans.
I get as much value from the Zoom calls.
This is great. I got off it and was like, right, I think I know what I'm doing as well now.
Go on then, tell us about Brighton. In particular, I'd like your thoughts on Purvis Stupan. He's been a bit in and out of the team. But one thing that I did notice is on that goal, he does not track Brennan correctly.
No, he kind of
does, and then he doesn't. And then he just kind of gave up, and then he sort of tried to recover, puts his hand up to appeal for offside. And it's too late. Brennan's in behind. And the thing that we've seen from De Zerbi in the past is basically activity like that does get punished sometimes.
Yeah, and he was punished last week with the benching for his poor performance against Luton the week before.
It's not as if he hasn't got sort of Lamptey and others chomping at the bit to get in the team. So Purvis is stupid now? Yes, no?
Well, I mean, I've got him. I think the one thing I would say is, I just got my phone out to check. Didn't Lamptey go off injured again?
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Did I make
confirmed
that up?
Confirmed or no? Probably. I mean, let's face it, it's most weeks it happens.
Did I make that up?
Whether you've made it up or not, Purvis Estupinan, I think, is a at 5.0, I just find him a bit hard to hold at the minute.
Yeah, but
the Brentford, the Brighton fixtures are so good that you're probably going to hold it. Sheffield United up next. Then it's the Everton game in blank game week 26. Fulham, Forest, before it gets much tougher in 29 with City and Liverpool back-to-back. So the next four, as we know, look good for Brighton, which is why you bought in Gross. It's why we both bought in Purvis and Stupan a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you can't really sell, can you?
No, and it's really hard because I think that with Lamptey there is always a bit of a risk. They both started, actually, in this one. They started on the opposite flanks.
Yeah. Igor dropped. Was it Igor?
Yeah. I think that my issue with him is, one, it's not so much the cost. Like, the cost is what it is. It's the lack of returns, be it defensive ones or attacking ones, in the same way that we've been talking about Porro. But the thing is with Porro is, at least you know he's going to start every week.
Yeah.
Whereas with Estupiñán, it feels like he's less locked in that team than he ever was previously. And maybe that's partly coming back from injury. Maybe that's partly a lack of match fitness that's maybe to do with him not tracking in the way that he used to do before.
Yeah.
I don't really know, but he's one that for me is a bit of a frustration, but given he's got a fixture in 26, he's also not a priority problem to deal with.
It's not something you've got to deal with, is it? There's so much other stuff to do that you're probably going to keep.
And it's Sheffield United, isn't
it?
Exactly. You know, so I was planning to sell Gross next week. I'm not sure I can, heading into that Sheffield United fixture.
And you can't sell him now. You can't sell Gross ahead of next week.
I don't think he looks too good,
and he's going to be on pens because Pedro's still out, right?
Yeah,
so let's talk about the Arsenal game from today then. 6-0. Was it Arsenal were great? Was it West Ham were crap? I think it's a bit of both, to be honest with you. But you cannot deny that, you know, the boy Saka is absolutely, you know, we sat here, what, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago. Is he a bit injured? Does he need a rest? He's not really worth the money in FPL. They had the winter break, and he's come back from the winter break, and he's got, what now, 4 goals in 3 games or 4 in 4 or something. So he was a justified hold a few weeks ago, right? And those that sold him might now be looking at how they get him back. Let's have a look at the Arsenal fixtures going forward. Here's Arsenal. Burnley up next week, which looks good. Newcastle at home. The way that Newcastle are conceding XG right now.
Yeah, it's madness.
Which is absolute madness. And if Eddie Howe puts Dan Burn up against Saka, in the way that, I mean, Alanga took the piss out of him this week. Can you imagine what Saka's going to do? We'll get to Newcastle in a minute, but Eddie Howe, first of all, he's a lying bugger because he's saying that Anthony Gordon's not
definitely
fit.
Out.
Definitely out, he says in his press conference, and he starts. And not only starts, but plays like the most of the game.
Yeah.
And then he keeps putting Dan Burn up against Pacey Wingers. What do you expect to happen? It's like, I know they got the win against Forest, but just Dan Burn looks out of his depth even against like a Langa. So if Dan Burn plays against Saka, I mean, that's Saka captainable potentially in 26. It's ridiculous. And then it's Sheffield United.
Look how angry you got then.
It's just Eddie Howe made me so mad this weekend. Eddie Howe with his lies in the press conference.
You don't even have Anthony Gordon.
I don't, but I'm an FPL man.
You don't even own him.
Right, I don't. But I feel for everyone that did, or everybody that sort of, like, luckily didn't go off in that game, right? They scored 3 goals and he's not been involved. Imagine you sell him on the back.
I sold him on that
basis.
Well, yes.
Imagine how would you would be madder than I am now if he got a brace at the weekend.
Oh, 100%.
So there you go. It's only because he's blank. No one's picked up on it. But I'm telling you, I've picked up on it, Eddie Howe. Know your game, mate. Right, so what was I talking about?
We were talking about Arsenal.
Yeah, they're a hold. Look at those fixtures. They're a hold.
But it's not just about being a hold, though, is it? It's the fact that, you know, like you say, a couple of weeks ago, there was a lot of chatter about, are Arsenal worth the money? And I think, you know, they weren't scoring a lot of goals. You know, goal here, goal there. Ticking over the Premier League points without ticking over the FPL points. And defensively looking fine. You have Gabriel, have Saliba, fine. But not really those attacking returns that you would have wanted. And there was a whole mass movement of people looking at selling Saka. And I just looked at it and was like, I don't know. I can't bring myself to sell Saka because Arsenal are one of those clubs that always have it in them. This game surprised me in how easily West Ham rolled over. I didn't expect them to capitulate in 15 minutes in the way that they did. But I did think Arsenal would win the game. I also thought West Ham would score, which is why I benched I also thought, I thought it'd be a scoring draw. So I was very, very tempted to bench Areola and Saliba this week because I didn't see clean sheets for either side. In the end, I played Saliba, thank goodness, and benched Areola also, thank goodness.
What did he end up on? Minus one, I suppose?
I guess.
Minus two, maybe? Don't know.
He got booked, didn't he? He got booked. He conceded saves? Six goals. Did he make any saves?
He made any saves. Yeah, six saves. He would have got a point for that.
He would have got a point for that.
One.
So 2 points. Yeah, minus one, probably. Yeah, annoyingly. But I think with Saka, he's one of those, isn't he, where I still don't know if there's anyone else in the Arsenal attack that I would invest in other than Saka.
No, he was top for shots amongst the whole game week so far with eight. I noticed he popped up somewhere else in these stats as well. Let me see. Oh, yeah, second overall for BPS amongst midfielders. So only Rice, who got 60 underlying BPS, got more than Saka's 50. So, listen, doing all the right things. Notice Ødegaard was a bit more involved today as well. So touches in the opponent's half. Top across the whole game week was Martin Ødegaard. And also, he's up there for passing as well. So third best after, interestingly, Kwanzaa from Liverpool and Botman from Newcastle. And Ødegaard up there in third for passing across the game week. So more involved and some owners as well. And some of his, some points for his owners if anyone has still got Ødegaard. But I don't know why you would at the minute. You'd just have Saka, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't think I'd double up on the Arsenal attack right now. Not in terms of the midfield, because I just think that there are so many other good options from the teams that are going to double that it would be difficult to have two Arsenal midfielders in there.
Yeah, all right. Any news on, any thoughts on West Ham? It's looking bad for them at a minute, isn't it? It can't just be Paqueta out, can it? What's going on? There's a lot of pressure from the fans to change the manager. I know that much. Which a few months after winning a major European trophy could be considered a little bit harsh, but they are.
And the thing
not
is, I mean, this is a very bad performance today. Very bad. Particularly to concede 4 in 15 minutes. That is bad. In the first half, to be 4-0 down and then have 12 come in 15 minutes, that's terrible. However, actually, has it been that bad this season? Like, arguably, they're where they should be. Like, they're not doing that badly, West Ham.
Adam says in the chat quite rightly, they're playing 29 as well. So we may consider them. We may consider them, but not on the back of that.
If we do consider them, though, there'll be a very, very limited pool.
Yeah.
Because don't they play where Aston Villa as well, don't they? So we'll have to see what Aston Villa are like by then.
Yeah, I think you're right. Charlie King's just in the chat going, major European trophy. It's the Conference League, Charlie. It's still a major trophy.
Excuse me.
To West Ham, that was a major European trophy.
No. To everyone that's major, I'd like to win that.
To West Ham and Spurs, it's a major European trophy.
We're going to win the Premier League this year. Did you not know, mate?
Man City 2, Everton 0.
Mate.
It's starting to sound like them seagulls from that, what's that Disney film? Finding Nemo. It's starting to sound like the bloody
mine,
seagulls.
Mine.
Man City, do you know what? I've taken the mick out of Ange there. I'm actually taking the mick out of you, taking the mick out of Ange.
I'm not taking the mick out of Ange. I love that man.
Honestly, I love him more and more. No, and obviously I love Klopp as well, right? The two managers that have come out. Have you seen this blue card stuff?
Yeah, yeah, but I love Ange for it. Because he's just said what we all think.
He's just come out and said, crap idea. Imagine, you know, a player goes off sin bin and the other team just defend for 10 minutes and then he comes back on, gets injured because his muscles have cooled. He just basically said it was crap. And Klopp has basically said the same thing.
But what I love about it.
Such a straight shooter.
Is that he said it in such a nice way. He won't get in trouble for it. Because he said it so nicely and ends it with mate. So, you know, it's all friendly. Yeah. So he's not come out and had a go. He's just gone, you know, he explains his point of view and he goes, mate. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, that's all right.
I hate all referees. I think the PGMOL are absolute rubbish.
Thanks, mate.
Mate.
And oh, everyone goes, oh, it's all right. Don't find him. It's fine. Suddenly finds. He's
soft
fine.
The blow at the end. It's brilliant.
And he smiles with his nice cheeky little Australian act. I love that, man.
Anyway, moving on. Man City 2, Everton 0. The big man is back.
Not until the 71st minute, though.
Well, I would like your opinion on how, and I'm trying to think of the right word to describe this, the change, how galvanised Manchester City were when Kevin De Bruyne came on.
Well,
it was like night and day, the performance. When he came on, and bless him, I think Nunes is an all right player. But he's no Kevin De Bruyne. And the whole team just changed completely.
But also, I would argue that Kyle Walker had a similar impact as well.
To be fair, I'd agree, yes.
I think Kyle Walker and KDB... I mean, look, Champions League midweek, double game week.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of football.
Busy.
And Kyle Walker, he's had his issues. De Bruyne is coming back from injury, a serious injury as well. And he's played a lot of football, actually, in the last couple of weeks, because obviously he had back-to-back starts in the midweek game. I forget who that, Burnley, and then against Brentford.
Yes.
So was I hugely surprised on Friday night when people started to suggest he would be benched?
Mm.
No, I don't think I was, because I was like, well, the Champions League's in midweek. He's going to obviously want to go and win that.
Big game.
You know, that's big. Big. And then obviously they've got the double game week coming up, and he's going to want to win both of those matches also. And De Bruyne is such an important player.
Do you think it makes him a bit of a lock for the double?
Well, it does
for me.
Playing
both games?
Yeah. Well, the Champions League will be interesting, won't it? It depends on, obviously, if he's got to go and play 90 minutes in that,
yeah.
Then he might play 90 minutes in the first game, and then maybe that's problematic. But I think, you know, he's one of those players where, look, even if he plays, starts one and gets benched and comes on in the other, we've seen what impact he can have off the bench in this one. Changed the whole game, him and Kyle Walker coming on.
Yeah.
Made such a difference to the way that they attacked. And particularly to Haaland, like, you could almost see a change in Haaland the minute De Bruyne walked on the pitch.
The second goal, the run by Haaland for the second goal, he doesn't make that run if it's someone else on the ball there.
No, probably not.
And if it's someone else on the ball, they probably don't find him in quite the same way. It was like, those two have got such a great understanding.
Yeah.
They both know each other is world class. And Haaland makes that run. And poor old Branthwaite was just turned inside out, wasn't he?
He was,
and then when he tried to sort of out-muscle Haaland, he just got dumped on his arse. And Haaland just popped it past the keeper. It was a great, great move, a stunning move. And I think if Haaland... So Haaland being benched this week, I think does make him more of a shoo-in to get minutes in the double.
I think he plays them both, yeah.
That makes me even more convinced to play the triple captain on Haaland next week. Are you going to do that?
Oh, I'm 100% doing it because, yeah, as I said on the official pod last week, because Jules was talking about how you could wait to play it.
For what?
Well, because Man City, if they progress against Luton in the FA Cup, they'll have another double coming up later. So you could wait and play
this.
Then.
Is this, though? Two games?
Well, so as I said to him, game week 30, let's assume, because I think we have to, that Manchester City stay in the Champions League,
yeah,
all the way to the final. That means their opportunities for this double to slot are 34 and 37, because, yeah, that's the weeks where we don't have European football. Both of those weeks, 34 has Spurs away, 37, I think, has Brighton away, both away games.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be Brighton's the one that will get rescheduled from 29, actually. But anyway, the next double that they would have would be two away fixtures if it sits in 34 and 37.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying that that's a reason not to do it in those weeks, but we know how good City are at home and how many opportunities they create, particularly when they're at the Etihad. And that doesn't always transform itself in the same way when they go away from home, particularly two away fixtures. And we might see more rotation with more travelling.
I think
it's just so important.
And they're really good home fixtures, like Chelsea and Brentford.
Yeah, they're great.
We'll try to play.
They will.
It's not as if it's like, with respect, you know, Luton, that would just sort of sit
they're
there.
They're not going to try
like,
and defend.
They wouldn't just park the bus and be like, right, we'll just suck it up as much as we can. Try
they're
and correct. Be 0-0, 1-0, and then maybe we go for it at the end. Chelsea will go there and play a bit of football,
agreed.
I think. Brentford will try and play a bit of football.
And I also think that, you know, when you're looking at triple captaincy, yes, there will be moments later on in the season, and you could argue that Dominic Solanke has one of those moments potentially in 28.
You're right, and I've just put the fixtures up there, because Solanke, in case you missed that one, Sheffield United and Luton, both at home in 28. In my opinion, that is the only other triple captaincy option right now.
But what I would say is that, one, we know exactly where we are with Haaland right now.
Yeah.
As long as nothing happens to him in the Champions League,
yeah,
we've got a fully fit Erling Haaland.
Arrested KDB.
We've got pretty much fully fit rest of the Man City attack as well.
Yeah.
So good supply lines.
They're in a good moment.
They're in a good moment where...
10 wins on a bounce.
But also in a good moment where they're in all competitions, where they are fully focused on catching Liverpool in the Premier League, where with a win in their... leftover fixture, their to be rescheduled fixture, they could go ahead again.
Yeah.
All of that stuff puts them in the right moment. Now, yes, Dominic Solanke arguably has the better of the fixtures because he's got two newly promoted sides to play.
Mm.
However, it's Bournemouth.
They can have an off day, can't
they? They can have an off day. He can have an off day.
Yeah.
And you don't get off days from Man City, really. And if you do get an off day from Man City, you're not getting two in a double game week.
No.
So
no.
For me, yes, Dominic Solanke could be a great differential triple captain. To be honest, I'm comfortable enough just captaining Dominic Solanke in that week. Erling Haaland, for me, with two home fixtures, nice home fixtures, with Man City playing the way that they are, with KDB back, I just think feels like a bit of a gift.
You play what's in front of you, in my opinion. Anything can happen between now and game week 28 for Dominic Solanke. Could get injured, could
anything could happen.
I think you're right. I think he's probably the standout captaincy that week, given that Liverpool and Man City are playing each other. Who have Arsenal got that week? Brentford at home. Yeah, okay. Maybe Saka. Spurs away at Villa. Dom Solanke looks the same.
Well, I think you captain a double game week, so I think you're going to go Dominic Solanke. But for me, when I'm looking at where my triple captain's armband, I want to put it on somebody that I can absolutely rely on.
What is his effective ownership going to be?
Well, it'll be over 200. It will be. So that's another reason to do it, because actually, if you just own him, right? If you don't own him, it's suicidal. If you just own it, no, it is.
It isn't it?
If you just captain him, that's going to hurt your rank for every point he gets. Yeah. So you're going to want a captaincy blank, because every goal he scores is going to be punishment. If you've triple captained him, you're going to get some gain from having done that.
Yeah.
So I don't really like playing the triple captain armband on the obvious. I normally put it on someone a bit rogue. Like last year, it went on Kane. It didn't go on Haaland. The year before, it went on Firmino rather than Salah. Like, I like to consider...
Be a little bit different,
I like to play...
Any KDB?
So, KDB, yes.
KDB triple?
I had thought of it, but I just...
It's the big man, isn't it? This game week, Haaland is the best weekend captain. Has shown us... Don't overthink it.
No, don't overthink it.
The big man's back. He's on penalties. Triple captain.
When you had that week when Liverpool... Actually, it wasn't even Salah everyone went to. It was Mane, wasn't it? Everyone else was going for Mane. Yeah. And I was like, just fancy Bobby. And so I did that. And actually... But that felt really less risky.
Oh, yeah.
Because we didn't have the level of ownerships and stuff that we have around Haaland.
Yeah.
I just think that going for anyone other than Haaland this week, you're going to have... a very, very, very large sofa to hide behind.
Malachi Fox is in the chat. Thank you for the comment. And should have thought of this. Absolutely. Jota triple captain. I don't mind it. It's brave. And if you're chasing... If you're having a crap season, you don't like your rank, and you've still got the triple captaincy, I don't mind it.
Okay, let me throw this back at you. If you were going to hand the triple captain's armband to Liverpool, is Jota the best option?
Yes. Yes.
Not chaos?
No. Can you imagine triple captaining and him hitting the woodwork four times? How much pissed off would you be? Honestly. He still misses loads of chances. There will be a game week between now and the end of the season where Darwin gets 20 points. There will be a game week. But would you use your triple captain on it? Not for me. Would you go for Jota? Yes. Because he's a clinical finisher. He's almost the anti-Darwin. He gets a chance. He slots it.
Brentford and Luton for you lot. So nice fixtures.
It is. It is. But it's Chelsea and Brentford at home for Haaland. I mean, come on. I don't mind it, Malachi. Look, if you wanna go captain, triple captain Jota, even captain Jota, I'm not against it, right? I don't think it's a bad choice at all. I would advise against Darwin. Don't use a triple captain on Darwin. You will be forever regretting it. It's just Haaland, isn't it? It's just Haaland. Anything else is overthinking. I'm sorry to be boring, but it is.
The other thing that I look at is just having Jota is still going to have a big impact on your rank.
Yeah.
A good impact on your rank.
I don't have him at the moment.
Yeah, I don't have Darwin.
And that is a concern for me going into next week.
You know, just having these players, because their ownership is what it is, they're not going to be heavily captained.
Let's segue to Liverpool then. I ain't talking about Everton. Rubbish. Liverpool 3, Burnley 1. Let's segue there then with the Jota and Darwin chat, because those are the two, I think.
To be just one word on Everton.
No.
They weren't actually that bad for the first 70 minutes. They did quite well. Then KDB came on, they fell apart.
Yeah.
Move on.
And I did give Brownthwaite a bit of stick there, but he actually played all right.
He did. They did well. For 71 minutes, they did well.
Come up against KDB
and then
Haaland,
KDB came on and everyone got a bit scared.
Give anybody nightmares.
Yeah.
Liverpool 1, Burnley 3 then. Jota, Darwin, yes, we've got to talk about them. Klopp has come out and said that Salah's probably a couple of weeks away, I think
Thank
is what he
God
said.
Thank God for that.
He said that... if it were down to Mo would say next week, which is basically what he's saying there, is he's saying Mo's really keen to get back on the grass.
But
he's got a hamstring injury and he's on the wrong side of 30, so we've got to be careful with him. And I think we do.
And absolutely the other thing really here, I think, and you know, I'm not a Liverpool fan and I'm not in Klopp's head, but in my mind, you've got a cup final to play in game week 26.
He will be doing everything to get him ready for that.
And so I think if you've got obviously you've got Europa League this week, and then you've got two Premier League fixtures, which should be winnable with the squad that you have.
Yeah, let's just remind ourselves of those fixtures then. So Liverpool coming up, Brentford and Luton, as we've said a couple of times, in the double game week next week. Then the blank, then Nottingham Forest, City, Everton, Brighton. But Brentford and Luton, I think that Salah will be on the bench probably.
Yeah. So I would expect, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, that we will see Salah treated in the way that Pep treated KDB for those first couple of matches. 20 minutes here. Let's ease you back in so that come the League Cup final, you're ready to start.
Yeah. He'll want to give him some minutes because Klopp likes momentum, rhythm, all that sort of stuff, right? And in the past, he's not really that sort of player. There are a lot of players in that squad that need a couple of games to get going. He's not. He just gets on with it. But I still think
you got to be protecting
he'll want to give him
though,
some minutes on the pitch before the cup final. But that is not enough, in my opinion, to prioritise him for the double game week, or even bring him in for the double game week, particularly as in 26, then you're giving yourself a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
So with that said, Darwin and Jota. I got Darwin, but no Jota. You're the opposite.
Yeah.
Your plans for Captain Chaos and my plans for Jota, if we have any, or any other Liverpool assets.
I have no plans for further Liverpool investment.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
And I don't like that at all. However, I am in a place where I can play through 26 without using my free hit.
Yeah.
I can treble up on Man City. I can have Brentford if I want to. I could go to a Brentford asset if I so chose. I don't think I want to, given the fixtures, but I could. So I can make sure that my investment is heavily loaded in City's favour.
Yeah.
I've got Jota. Yes, I could. I could go for Darwin.
How would you get there?
I'd have to sell either Solanke or Watkins. And then I would have to then move again. So this is the thing that I've got to consider. So if I wanted Darwin for next week, I could sell Solanke / Watkins, one or the other.
Solanke's got Newcastle.
I know.
Newcastle are crap.
I know this. Yeah. This is the problem. So then, and then next week, I've got a problem because I've got Doughty, Porro, Palmer and Jota. And then I'd have added Darwin to the mix. So now I've got to sell two. So now I'm taking a hit going into the blank game week to get 11 out. I'm selling both the Liverpool assets at that point. Now, do I want to cause myself that much of an issue? I don't think so.
No. The other thing about loading up on Liverpool and City for game week 25 is that in game week 28, they play each other. And you're going to have a ton of them all like playing each other.
So my view is that if you're planning to free hit in 26, then I think it's fine to go heavy on Liverpool in 25, because coming out of 26 into 27, you can start to de-invest in Liverpool. Because actually, the other thing I'm thinking in my head is I've got Jota at the moment, very pleased to have Jota right now, will be very pleased to have him for the double, but moving forward, I want to have Salah instead.
Yeah.
So I'll be happy after the double, when Jota's returned me a hatful of points, to sell him.
Hope you're right.
And then use that spot later, when Salah's fit and available fully, to invest in Salah instead. And as you say, that doesn't necessarily happen straight away, because I don't particularly like the fixtures that Liverpool have in the aftermath of their blank game week. So I think feasibly you can wait. And then given that we're expecting them to blank also in 29... if they progress in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So difficult fixture in 28 against Man City, probable blank in 29. So my view is I sell Jota now and then I invest in Salah when I wildcard in game week 30.
Yeah. Quick super chat from Ken's Bronsgrove. Thank you, Ken's, for the super chat. He says, our Brentford game, I think it's the Liverpool, Ken's is a Liverpool fan. The Liverpool-Brentford game is 12:30 away, lunchtime kickoff, what a shock. Not convinced with us last few games. Jota, though completely different, seems alive at the moment. He does.
We did Saturday lunchtime. Are you not playing on Thursday? Have you not got Europa League this week?
Probably. Let's face
you
it. I don't think Europa League is this week.
Is it not kicking off again yet? No, oh, no, you don't have to play, do you? Because you won your group.
We're through.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why they've given us half 12.
That's
away.
Right, that's right.
Again, we've got to travel.
I forget that you were through already. You didn't have to qualify.
Not a surprise, is it? So yeah, I agree, Kenz. Jota is completely different at the minute. He does feel like the key goal threat at the minute, at least until Mo comes back. And even when Mo comes back, I still think he's going to get plenty of minutes. The one that you should have on radar, I think... is young Connor Bradley.
Is he going to be available? Because he's still been on compassionate leave, hasn't he?
Well, the thing is, so if you missed that news, Connor Bradley's dad passed away.
Last Saturday.
Which is obviously awful news for him, because his dad's not old.
Only
guy,
young,
50-something.
Only young.
It's crazy,
awful.
It's crazy, awful news. And Connor Bradley was playing pretty well in the team.
Well, he was due to get
right?
the start against Newcastle.
I think he
against
Arsenal.
Well,
I think he would have started, yeah. And what happened subsequently was that he was given compassionate leave. Absolutely right. Trent comes in probably a little bit sooner than he would have liked.
Yep.
Had a bit of a bad game against Arsenal from all accounts. Didn't have a great game this weekend either. Got hooked at half-time, which at the time I thought might be tactical because he brought Harvey on. And Harvey completely changed the game, by the way. Yeah. I thought he was brilliant. So I thought, oh, Klopp's done it again. He's a genius. And... OK, I'm not saying he's not, because he is, and it's tactical. But Trent came off because he'd aggravated the knee.
The knee, yeah.
And the rumours are it's bad, like he's a few weeks. So I know that, you know, Connor's going to be hurting, right? And he's not going to want to rush him back from that compassionate leave. He's got to take all the time he needs. But I hate to say it, we do need a right back because Trent is out.
Yeah, but it's not just... It's like when's the funeral and
it's all of that, isn't it?
It's that, like, it's not that you've got to come back to work. Like, and look, this is Klopp. He's not going to say that to him anyway.
No,
because he doesn't want. The other thing is, you don't want somebody back that's not mentally there.
No,
because that's problematic in itself.
Absolutely.
But so all of it's difficult. But I think you have to keep Bradley on the radar.
Because if he comes out or Klopp comes out and says, look, you know, we're all feeling it for Connor, but he wants to help the team.
Well, then
and
it's
he
different.
Wants to be in the starting 11.
Then that's different.
Then I think he's a great pick for the double game week.
Well, yes, but again, I think it's going to depend. Yeah, yeah. It depends on your strategy for how you manage the blank. Because again, are you causing yourself... You don't want to hit him in only to then find you've got to hit him back out again. Because the chances are he's not going to return... Well, I was about to say he's not going to return a double-digit haul, but actually it's two... game week fixtures where he could return 6 points in each and therefore get a double digit.
The alternative, of course, is that he plays Gomez there, because if Van Dijk and
he'll be back from his flu by then.
Kanate's back from the suspension. We've got Quanta, who played pretty well actually against who did we play this weekend? Who have we played against this weekend? Where's my results page? I've already forgotten. Burnley. He played pretty well against Burnley, despite, I think it was his cock-up for the high XG for final chance in the second half. But nevertheless, we've got choices now at centre-back, which means he could put Gomez at right-back. Whenever I've seen Gomez at right-back, I don't fancy him. I already think Conor Bradley's a better right-back than Gomez. But listen, the kid needs time out because of what's happened to his family. So, you know, that comes first, absolutely. Lots of Liverpool conversation. Not much to say about Burnley other than say, what a header by O'Shea. Unbelievable goal, wasn't it?
They could have had another great one as well. There was another great header that nearly
went. Yeah, yeah. Second half, they had plenty of chances. That is the thing with Liverpool, is we'll give chances. I think 1.3 XG,
That is also what puts me off spending any points to invest in the Liverpool defence.
Yeah.
You do love to give away a chance.
We do love to give away a chance. What else can we discuss, Sam? Listen, we're coming up to the hour, so we've got to briefly go through some of these other games. Luton at home by Sheffield United.
I was just going to say, I think we should have a quick word on Luton, given that they are one of the teams that double. Didn't see this one coming at all.
No, I thought this was a comfortable home win. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you saw any of the highlights, Sheffield United could be like four up after 20 minutes.
Bonkers.
It's ridiculous.
It was bonkers. It was utterly bonkers. And
Cameron
Archer
missed a sitter, didn't he, in the first like, 5 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, at the point where everyone sold him, Cameron Archer decides now he's going to be a baller again. But it was weird. I don't think you do anything differently. I think you've invested in Liverpool. In Luton, you just stay with what you've got. I do think it will put people off doubling up or trebling up on Luton, given this result and given the fixtures in the double are not they're not easy.
Did we all get a bit excited about Alfie Doughty? I mean,
I don't think we did because
the stats were there.
The stats were there for this week. You know, he created 9 chances in this game week. 9.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he wasn't doing his fair share. It's just that everyone else around him was pretty awful.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, as an Alfie Doughty owner, fine. Am I going to keep him after 25? Probably, because they double again in 28. Yes, he probably just moved to my third sub spot.
You're right about his chances created, by the way. The Fantasy Football Scout members area says he was top.
Yeah, 9.
Through all the game, you know, across all players. Top with 9 chances created. Second was Bruno with 8. And then Ødegaard and Robbo. So, yeah, Doughty, top for chances created. So you can't really say that he wasn't doing his bit in this game to get some FPL points.
Yeah, he tried his hardest. It's just the rest of Luton didn't convert their chances.
As well, top for crosses. I don't know if you guys can see this, but Alfie, probably not. If you're a scout member, go and have a look at this. Alfie Doughty crossing. Look at that. Miles ahead, absolutely miles ahead of the next best, which
he
was
really, really good.
Sarabia from Wolves.
So I think, you know, if you've got Doughty, great. He's still a massive differential as well. There should be some attacking returns. And the way that Liverpool defend, if he's creating chances like that against Liverpool, you would expect there to be a return for him.
Go on then. Any other games?
No, less.
Forest 2, Newcastle 3. We've talked about how crap Dan Burn is.
I mean,
should we be targeting Newcastle defence now? They are conceding a lot of goals.
Well, I think we will have anyway, haven't we, given the fixture next week?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And Man United grinding out a 2-1 win at Villa Park, which was very good indeed.
I think it might be, after this double game week is played out, concluded, I think it'll probably be time to start thinking about investing in a Manchester United attacker.
Well, Hoyland's like on fire, low key on fire.
But
and
he's
banging in tons of goals.
But the trouble with Hoyland is he's a forward. And we've all got, like, Haaland, basically we've got 2 spots because Haaland just takes out the third. So then it's like, well, it depends. If Watkins continues to not be on great form, then he might be up for the chopping block. If you've still got Dominic Solanke by the time you're rolling into or out of the double and into the blank, you're probably keeping him because of the blank they've got coming up in 28. Yeah.
Garnacho then.
Garnacho, yes.
Decent enabler, isn't he?
I think Garnacho is probably what, you know, I might even go Jota down to Garnacho in the aftermath of...
Look at those fixtures. They've got City right in the middle, which is meaning that United are... And they don't have a double game, which means they're kind of halfway down the ticker.
Yep.
But if we take out all the complexities of blanks and doubles, Luton, Fulham, Everton, Sheffield United, Brentford...
There's definitely goals in there.
Definitely goals, isn't there? Definitely goals. Aston Villa, 3rd defeat on the spin at Villa Park. Are they just feeling it this season?
Don't know.
Are they feeling it?
I can't work it out.
The one thing's for sure, Douglas Luiz, you cannot celebrate like that if you are going to go on and lose a game. If you score the winner in the 96th minute...
If you're Brennan Johnson...
You can do the little shoulder shuffle, Douglas. But if you then go on to lose the game, expect to get a bit of pelters on social media, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Morpie will give him some.
Yeah. Next time Morpie scores, he'll be like that. Doing the shoulders. What a shout.
Swearing.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Morpie. Who did he troll somebody else on the other day, didn't he?
Morpie?
Yeah.
Ah, probably.
He did it to someone else again the game after. I can't think who it was now.
Probably. I don't know.
Lunatic.
Anyway, those are the games. Let's talk about our teams. Before we do, Sam, a shout out to all of our patrons. We know many of you. We've got Wilco. We've got Nigel the Crab. We've got all sorts of you guys are in here today with us. So thank you for joining us again. Patreon.com/FPL family if you'd like a little bit more of Sam and I in your lives. If you'd like podcasts every week, exclusive podcasts. If you'd like to take part in our Manager of the Month competition. If you'd like the Zoom calls with us that we were talking about before that Joseph and I have got this week. And that you had with Wilco last week. Little one-to-one chats about your team. If you're thinking of the wild card, all the rest of it, then that is the place to go. So patreon.com/FPL family is the place to go if you'd like a little bit more of us in your lives. And a quick update on our Manager of the Month for February. So Sean currently at the top, former champion.
I was going to say, that's full of former champions up there because Jobbers is next.
Former champion Nathan Joblin in at number 2. I don't think David has won it before, but he's definitely not the first time that David has been in and around it for Manager of the Month. So as you can see, very, very close. For February, plenty of games still to go in the month of February. So Sean, Nathan and David doing a sterling job so far. And of course, once the Chelsea game is done and dusted tomorrow night, I will be updating all of the patrons on how they are getting on and whether Sean, Nathan and David are still at the top of the Manager of the Month standings. Let's have a look at our team, Sam, for this game week just gone. Which,
24.
24. I'm losing track of all things FPL at the minute.
Why does it say game week 21 on there, Leigh? Look.
Does it? Oh, dear me.
Come on.
Should we change this live? Wait a minute. Let's change it. Wait a minute. Here we go. I bet yours says the same, actually. Game week 24 score for me, 70. I'm happy with that. 70 with Palmer to play. To be honest, it wasn't looking too good until the Arsenal game. And then Gabriel and Saka have kind of saved the day. I think Saka's effective ownership around me was about 85. So pretty high. So it didn't make much of a difference. But Gabriel was like 40-something. So I think there's quite a few that might have benched Gabriel or benched Saliba this week. I must admit, had I Saliba over Gabriel, I think that was a brave move to play him, I think, because his underlying stats, you know, don't suggest anything like as much goal threat as Gabriel.
No, they definitely
don't.
So
you would have been for those that bench Saliba this week, you can be forgiven, I think, for that. If you bench Gabriel this week, that's a tougher one to swallow, I'd suggest, because with the goal threat and West Ham being a bit crap defensively from set pieces, you know, I was always going to play him over a Stupinan. Over Stupinan, yes, but with Gusto I did have a bit of a conversation with myself. So yeah, 70 with Palmer still to go, 58k at the moment, which is fine. I'm happy with that. Given that I am likely to play, Sam, and this is some insight into what I'm doing the next couple of weeks, two chips in the next 2 weeks. So I will be playing the triple captain next week, so Haaland triple cap, that is happening in game week 25. Game week 26, I'm almost sure that I'll be free hitting.
Yeah,
almost sure. I'm planning to save a transfer this week.
Why?
I think so that I can go into the blank with two frees and maybe sort it out. But if I decide to lock in that free hit in 26, I won't do that, and I'll bring in Jota, and I'll bring in somebody from Liverpool.
Yeah.
But game week 26, as it stands, currently planning to use the free hit chip because I've got a lot of players from Spurs, from Chelsea, and one from Liverpool, one from Luton. So I've got a lot of blankers.
You've got six already, right?
Six blankers coming into game week 26. So what I don't want to do is have half a team going into 26. Of course, holding the free hit chip later on for game week 29 is definitely a strong strategy. Saving it to play more aggressively later on in the season is also fine. But I think it's the right thing to do for me. It allows me to kind of aggressively go into Manchester City and Liverpool for this upcoming double game week. It allows me to keep Spurs post-blank in 26, which I do want to do because your fixtures look great and Son's back. It allows me to hold on to Chelsea and Palmer and not lose the value there. It also allows me to have a couple of cheeky punts in game week 26, like Wolves at home to Sheffield United.
Yeah.
So it could do something like, I was planning Cunha, but we've got to look at the injury, but go
Neto,
for like a
Huang.
Neto or a Huang or something like that. So there are little mini opportunities in and around free hit 26 that I think for my team makes it a good option. Not saying that's a good option. It's a good option for everyone's team. Depends on how many blankers you've got and how many you want to carry through. But for me, almost certain that I'm going to be bringing in another Liverpool this week and then doing the free hit in 26. So triple captain and then free hit over the next couple of weeks.
Fair enough.
So with 58k currently on the board, I'm hoping that a fortnight from now, once game week 26 is done and dusted, I'm going to be higher than 58, and that set me up for a good foundation for the rest of the season. So overall rank change of 15.5%. Pretty happy with that. With Palmer to go. So we'll see how that turns out. Game week score of 70. Let's have a look at yours, Sam. A very, very nice green arrow this week. 81. 81. You did take a hit, but nevertheless, 81. Still very good. While I live change that game week 21 to game week 24, talk us through your team.
I feel like I could cry. It's been so long since my arrow has been green. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I was yesterday when it was a green arrow. And I thought, I think it's going to stick because there was no one major that I didn't have.
Pascal Gross. You were conflicted, to be fair. Can we just say you were conflicted?
So
Spurs go 1-0 down and secretly you're happy.
Oh, no. We can't say that.
Yes, we can.
No, what we can say is how much I hated myself today when Saliba scored.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I celebrated it and then felt physically sick that I'd celebrated an Arsenal goal. I was like, oh, God, I hate myself.
Spurs and Arsenal fans, come at Sam heavily in the comments here. Because I'm telling you, when Gross scores that penalty, you'll be like, that's a shame.
Shut up. That is such a lie. today I did celebrate, and then I immediately said, God, I hate myself that I'm celebrating an Arsenal goal. I hate that.
And you did celebrate the Saliba goal.
I really did, because he's a differential for me over you.
You were driving at the time, and you were like, oh, the slack's going off. The slackers are saying there's been a goal.
No, because they were going, right, it's a Rice assist. And I was like, they must have scored. Find out who it is.
Yeah. And so I looked on Twitter, and it was Saliba. I went, oh, it's a Saliba goal. And I said, I think I said it like that. Oh, yeah. Bloody Saliba.
And I was like, yes. And then I was like, no, it's an Arsenal goal. No, yesterday I wasn't conflicted. So I, on our Ohana podcast that we do for our patrons every Thursday, although we recorded that on Friday once you got home. We did it a bit later this week, didn't we, when you got back on Friday morning.
The guys are saying straight red for you, Sam, for that.
It feels like it, honestly.
Sam's a secret Arsenal fan, lol.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I honestly deserve I deserve to be fined. Heavily for that.
Blue card, people say.
Yeah, I deserve that. It was awful. I actually hated myself for it. And in that moment, I was like, who have I even become? But yesterday, I was... So when that Pascal Gross... I was very torn on even playing Pascal Gross.
You were,
And actually, so it was between Pascal Gross and Solanke. And actually, both of them returned. But I played the right one because obviously Solanke just with the assist. In the end, the decision to play Gross was on the basis that I always bench points. So I was like, well, if I bet, I'll play Gross because then...
reverse psychology,
exactly. So I was like, I'll play him. So then my phone obviously tells me, SofaScore, love that app. It comes up and it's like, it shows both clubs' badges. And I was like, oh, there's been a goal. Oh, it's a Brighton goal. And then I look over at you and you're just like, oh, it's Pascal Gross. And I was like... I could care in this moment, and we wait for so long for the Spurs goal. Yeah, and then I was really hoping that was going to be Porro.
I think this weekend is the turning point. This is, you've turned fully FPL over Premier League.
Oh, shut up.
Spurs are now secondary.
Oh, shut up.
FPL.
What is
you're cheering a Saliba goal? You're secretly happy about Gross?
I was not happy about Gross. At all happy about Gross. You also didn't...
Docker a week's wages.
Hang on a minute. At the beginning of this live stream, you started off by saying the loudest cheer we gave at St Albans City all game was Dean and I celebrating the Spurs winner in the 97th minute. Yeah. So you can't then sit there and go, I celebrated a Pascal Gross goal, because I did not. I did feel physically sick after celebrating that Saliba goal, and I did punish myself for it. I won't have any chocolate tonight when I'm watching Love Island as punishment. Actually, that's a lie. I'm absolutely going to have some chocolate watching Love Island in a minute. But look, it's a green arrow. I cannot begin to fathom how relieved I am.
Stops the rot a little bit. Yeah, a couple of tricky weeks.
It's not. So... No. I've not had a green arrow this year.
Yeah, had a couple of tricky weeks.
Since the turn of the year, I've not had a green arrow. It's been... so hard, and I must admit I have found it really mentally quite difficult the last few weeks, because you've been having a really, really good few weeks. Every decision I make seems to go wrong, and then I've got to live with the Frenchman in my ear every Thursday.
What, Jules Laurent?
And he's at 7k.
He is having a stormer, by the way. So if you're not listening to the official FPL pod, it's worth it just to tune in to Jules Laurent and his season. So he's at like 7K.
7K. So unreal. I've got you absolutely doing really unreal. Well. I've got Kelly, who somehow, with a newborn baby, is smashing it every week. And then I've got Jules, who...
By the way, my homie's in the chat saying, how much is Jules going to love it knowing that you celebrated a Saliba goal?
Don't tell him. Please don't tell him.
Can we get on Twitter and tell Jules about this, please?
Please don't tell him. Please don't tell him. Because if he comes to me, honestly, it's quite challenging working with Jules sometimes.
Wilco's saying, you have a Zoom with him? Green arrow, just saying.
Wilco, I think it was you. Wilco, can you call me from Australia every week?
I'm
very happy. I've got Palmer to play. Feeling very, very pleased, actually, with this one. Because I feel like that puts me in a nice position now where I've broken a bit of a rot. I do have to carefully consider 25.
Well, so we spoke there about me playing two chips in 2 weeks over the next
four. So I'm just planning to play just one chip.
Okay,
currently.
Navigating without the free hit for 26.
Yeah, so currently my strategy is, and I might change my mind this week, but my current strategy is to triple captain Haaland in 25.
Yeah.
To do use my one free transfer and probably take another hit in game week 25 for two double game week players.
Okay, who are you thinking?
Definitely another City player, but I'm yet to decide who. My plan...
Yeah, only two City. Yeah. Who are you thinking? Foden.
No, my plan was Rodri.
Rodri?
Yeah, so my plan was to go
Rodri?
For...
Rodri? Come on. the best double game we've had in years for the best team in the league. Second best team in the league. You can't have Rodri. Yeah, I'd have Bernardo Silva or something like that over Rodri. Doku over Rodri.
So my plan was to go for Rodri and replace Pascal Gross. But the problem is now I don't think I can sell Pascal Gross because he's now returned in the last 2 weeks and he's got Sheffield United. So I need to really care.
Who've turned a corner, by the way.
Who've turned a corner. So I need to... Have they? Or have they just had one good game?
No, they won. Yeah, yeah. They won a game. Yeah.
So I've got to carefully consider how I manage the next week and how I invest in Manchester City for the third, whether I want to go for an extra Liverpool, because if I go for an extra Liverpool, I'm putting myself back in free hit territory or another hit into game week 26, which I don't hate. I actually don't hate the -4 next week and the -4 the week after. I think that that is actually something that I might seriously consider doing. The other thing also is that obviously we're on holiday for the blank game week.
True.
So
yes.
I'm also going to have to think quite carefully about how I manage that whilst not in the country. And so all of that's kind of playing out in the back of my head. At the moment, I'm not planning to free hit because I can get through it and still have 11 players without a hit.
Okay.
Cool. But the
and
hit...
a free hit potentially is in 29 then?
No. So because I think my... Right. So then my plan is to sort of slowly dead end my team into game week 29.
Yeah.
And then wild card through 30 into 30, which will then set me up for a bench boost in 37. And then the free hit either in 34 to manage the blank and double or in 38.
38?
Yeah.
Final game week fun.
Yeah, beat Jules on the final day with a free hit.
Goodness me, goodness me. All right, well, the guys are saying in the chat that despite being 1-0 down to Nigeria, it's now Ivory Coast in front in the AFCON final, 2-1. Oh. I wonder who scored. Oh, we've got to have a look at this. Who scored for Ivory Coast, guys? Get in the chat, let us know. People are saying Adringa assist. Allaire, was it Allaire? Oh, yes, let's go. Brilliant. So there we go. 2-1 to, currently 2-1 to Ivory Coast.
Well, we'll go and watch that and then we watch a bit of Love Island.
Just going to check that. There we go. Yeah, looks like it is 2-1. Brilliant stuff. There we go. So that is it, Sam, for
Green Arrows League. Two green arrows, both of us.
All round. And with Parma to go, I think they're going to stick because I don't think there's anybody in that game, that Palace versus Chelsea game, that can hurt us. Is there really?
Elise and Eze would have had they been fit and available.
I think we'd be all right.
They're all lowly owned. The Chelsea defence isn't very heavily owned. So I think it really is just Parma that anyone's got.
Yeah. All right.
So the green arrows will stick.
It is Sebastian Allaire that's got that goal.
Oh, hello.
I'll tell you what, that is absolutely, given what he's been through, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. There we go. I'm getting too involved on Twitter. Sorry, I'm going to go and watch the AFCON final. Sam, tell everyone what is coming up this week from FPL Family.
So actually, I'm going to have quite a busy week again this week. We had to catch myself and Az on Off the Bench on Tuesday. We'll be covering game week 24 out. Thank goodness I've picked myself a week where I've got a green arrow, so that's worked out quite nicely. Sadly Andy can't be with me this week, so Az is stepping in to replace him for me. You'll also be able to catch me and Az together on the Scout Q&A.
Very good.
I think that's on Thursday afternoon this week, but I will confirm that. It's either Thursday or Friday afternoon. The official pod will be out as normal also on Thursday this week. We'll be obviously looking at the double game week in a lot more detail. And then we'll be back on Sunday as normal with our live stream, plus, of course, the Ohana podcast for our patrons, which will be out either Thursday night or Friday morning.
Nice. All right. Well, there we go. Lots going on this week and lots of FPL action over the next couple of weeks. This is, as we said before, we've said a few times, this is, we're coming into a period now where this is going to sort
the
week
stuff
from the chaff, isn't it? This is blanks, doubles, chips. This is proper FPL in this, isn't it? This is where you can beat Dave from accounts and whatever from work. You can beat them now. This is the proper engaged FPL managers come to the fore now. The cream rises to the top, Sam.
Right.
This is where it all makes a difference. Guys, leave us a like before you go. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for joining us. Those of you that were watching us at the same time as AFCON, or if indeed you were watching us instead of AFCON, thank you for that. I don't know why you would be, because it sounds brilliant again. Looks like Ivory Coast are going to win, so fair play
to
them.
How long has gone?
Say again?
How long has gone?
No, I think it's near the end.
Oh, it's near the end.
Nearly done.
Ooh, we'll go and watch them lift the trophy.
Leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button. We're nearly at the next threshold. I think nearly at 26, or is it 27? I think it might be 26 1,000 followers. So guys, leave us a like and hit that subscribe button before you go. We will see you this time next week. Good luck to all the Chelsea fans, all the Crystal Palace fans of tomorrow night. And we'll see you soon. Cheers, guys.
Come on, Cole Palmer.